WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. We hear a lot about the disease lupus. We may have friends or relatives with it. We may even hear about the health activists promoting awareness, but there is still so much we just don't know. Well, tonight on this Medical Monday, we're talking about lupus. August is Lupus Awareness Month, and my guests are Dr. Sharon Dowell with the Division of Rheumatology at Howard University Hospital. Also, we have Tiffany Johnson. She is a lupus health advocate. If you have a question, if you have a comment about lupus, give us a call. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Certainly, if you have lupus, we would certainly be interested in hearing from you. You can certainly also follow me on Twitter at HFisherWHUR or Daily Drum WHUR. Dr. Dowell, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
And Tiffany Johnson, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Thank you so much for speaking with us. We'll be talking to you in just a moment. Dr. Dowell, talk to me about a working definition of exactly what lupus is.
Well, that's a very good question. Lupus is the most typical type of autoimmune condition, and therefore it sort of helps to understand what an autoimmune condition is. Basically, for all of us, we have cells within our body that protect us from infection, bacteria, any type of, as you will, foreign invaders to the body. And these are our white blood cells. Well, what happens in the autoimmune condition is that these white blood cells, which you can think of as soldiers, which form your defense system, and in the body, your defense system is your immune system. A portion of your white blood cells or a portion of your soldiers go rogue. So they don't do what they're supposed to do, which is to quietly patrol the body looking for bacteria or viruses to fight. Instead, a portion of these soldiers actually attack the body itself. And that's why we get the term autoimmune, where your body's own immune system is fighting self or auto. And lupus is the most typical of these autoimmune conditions. There are many types of autoimmune conditions. And in lupus, you can think of it as a condition where the body soldiers is fighting the body and causing a wide array of different symptoms and signs. And those symptoms or signs can vary from skin rashes to joint problems to problems with your heart, your lungs, your kidneys, and even occasionally with your brain.
How do you get lupus? I mean, it's not, as you say, it's autoimmune. It's not contracted.
Right. I mean, it's also a very good question, and one we get pretty often. It's we don't know why people get lupus, but we have a lot of theories. We believe that there has to be a genetic predisposition. So something in your makeup predisposes you to get it, and then something occurs within your environment that triggers it, and the disease begins to manifest. As of right now, there is still a lot of research going into what exactly predisposes people to it. We have some parts of that, but not all of it, and what exactly are these environmental triggers that can cause it to happen. But we do know for a fact that lupus runs in families, so that gives some credence to this genetic theory. So twins, they will have a higher rate of lupus. And if you have someone who has a first-degree relative, so if your mother or your father has lupus, then there is a high chance that you as well may have lupus. And the environmental triggers, there's a lot of theories abounding about that. But currently, we've identified sunlight or UV exposure as a trigger. Some infections are thought to be triggers. And there are some theories surrounding silica or silica exposure. But that's not the entire story. There's clearly more than we actually know.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. It's a Medical Monday. August is Lupus Awareness Month, and we are talking about the disorder. Tiffany, talk to me about how you first realized that you were having this health issue. How old were you, and how did you first discover that this was a concern?
I was about 27, 28 years old, and it was shortly after I had my first child. I had my daughter in January of 2005, and shortly thereafter, I started to notice that I was having some sort of inflammation in my joints. It was painful to hold a pen, just to be able to do things with my hands. I was feeling kind of achy. And I remember joking to my mom. I was like, gosh, I feel like I'm an old lady. I was like, is this what motherhood does to you? Mm-hmm. And I started seeing my doc, and I was explaining the symptoms that that I was having. And he ran some tests, and he's like, well, I'm not exactly sure, you know, what this is. So they started, they ran tests for Lyme disease. They ran tests for MS. Just trying to see if they could put a label on it. And for quite some time, they were not able to. Maybe about, I guess, mid-2007, it's kind of like one of those things where all the stars have to align. The blood test that they do for the tattoo that measure the what's called an ANA came back positive. Of course, I was still having inflammation. I was increasingly more fatigued. And my doc said to me that he thought what we were dealing with was lupus. Mm-hmm. But it was a good little while before they could call it that. For a long time, it was just, he said it was an autoimmune disorder of nonspecific origin.
I see.
For a long time.
She mentioned, Dr. Dowell, that this began to present after her first child was born. Does that have anything to do with triggering the issue? Because, Tiffany, I'm assuming that prior to the birth of your child, you had no symptoms?
Absolutely none.
And that's a very classic story with lupus. And I'm really glad that we're having this conversation tonight, because there are many people out there who have symptoms and who have lupus, but it goes undiagnosed for months and sometimes even years. It sort of presents a dilemma to many family practitioners. The occurrence of lupus, or lupus occurring soon after the birth of a child, is also a common phenomenon. I didn't mention, but hormonal factors are thought to play a role in the triggering lupus. We have evidence of this in that women, especially women of childbearing age, so young women, are 10 times more likely to have lupus than a young man. So lupus is a disease that is predominantly that of women. And most women, some women will have it occurring after pregnancy, or if they do have lupus, they would find that they would have a flare or an increase in their condition during pregnancy or right after pregnancy.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. It's a Medical Monday. This is Lupus Awareness Month, and we're talking about this issue on this Medical Monday. If you have a question, if you have a comment about lupus, please give us a call. Dina, calling from Maryland. Dina, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, yes. I was calling to talk about, I was diagnosed with lupus April 21st, 2016. My onset started with being very fatigued. I was fatigued. My joints were aching. I was swelling. And then I started having breakouts all over my skin. When I would go to the doctor, they tested me for various things. They treated me for a fungal disease of my skin. And then I was also treated for pneumonia because of my white blood count. And I was really sick for about 2 months when a dermatologist actually ran a biopsy on me and identified me as having systemic lupus with a part of discoid lupus. Last year was really a harder struggle for me to understand the disease, to understand how to protect myself from that disease. This year, I've been doing really well. A lot of my medications have been reduced. I was on up to 7 different medications. I'm now on 3 medications. But I understand lupus more, understand it internally as well as externally now, which makes it easier for me to cope with. I understand when I'm flaring. I know to lay down. So you can learn about it, although it doesn't go away. You can really get to a point where you start helping yourself to control what's really going on, to be able to deal with it emotionally. I think that's the hardest part for me now.
Okay. Dina, thank you so much for sharing that. I really appreciate it. Dr. Dowling, you were nodding your head. You wanted to comment on what Dina was just sharing with us.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very good point as well. Some people can overlook how lupus can affect you emotionally. And it's easy for us as doctors to treat the physical symptoms and signs, but you really do need to have a good support system in place and someone who understands how you feel. The Lupus Foundation is helpful in that way, where you can share stories, get support on, you know, doctors' information of things you can do, but because that sort of support is really important to make you feel good about yourself. Lupus typically can cause skin rashes that can, and as I said, it occurs in young women. It causes skin rashes, joint problems, and women, as you know, we like to look nice. And so that's a huge deal for a young woman. And having that support system is very important so that you can cope better with the disease itself.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. It's a Medical Monday, and we're talking about lupus. August is Lupus Awareness Month. If you have a comment, if you have a question, if you have an experience you would like to share with us, perhaps you are helping to support someone who also has lupus, we'd love to hear from you as well. Let me go to Lay. Lay calling from Southeast. Lee, okay. Thanks for calling, Lee. What's on your mind?
Hi, good evening. I just wanted to make a comment. Yes, actually my older sister, she's a twin. She has lupus. Now, she has lupus. Her twin does not have lupus. And so I was listening to Tiffany's story, and it's like, yes, in terms of being a twin. Also, she started to get her symptoms. I can't remember if it was right during the pregnancy or shortly after she had. I want to say it was shortly after she had her daughter. She didn't have it with the son, but shortly after she had the daughter, she came down and she was always in some the joints, everything. She was always in so much pain. And it took them a while. They could not figure out what was going on. So it really did take many different tests and stuff for them to figure it out. And so she's gone through and is still going through a lot of the different treatments and stuff for the lupus. So in terms of what Tiffany was saying, that they're still going through so many studies to be able to figure out what the triggers are and stuff, definitely just one of those things that it takes a while if they're able to diagnose it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you for sharing that with me, Lee. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. So, Tiffany, do you have times when you are asymptomatic, when you don't have any of the skin rashes or any of the feelings in your joints that are severe or even mildly unpleasant? Does it come and go, or is it always with you?
Oh, no, it's absolutely one of those things that kind of comes and goes. It shows up when it wants to, and it leaves when it wants to. Shortly after I had my second child, which was in January of 2008, the entire time during my pregnancy, I was in remission. I had no symptoms. I felt great. About 6 weeks after I had my son, I was almost completely unable to walk. It was very painful. My daughter at that time, I couldn't even do her hair. I found myself in tears most of the time. And somewhere maybe around August of that same year, the symptoms just started to ease and they went away and I felt fine. I mean, it's one of those things where it's so strange just how it comes on and then it goes away on its own. There's just no rhyme or reason to it at all.
Mm. Talk to me, Dr. Dowell, about treatment of of lupus? What, how is it treated exactly?
Well, before we get to the treatment, I would like to just make a point about how it is diagnosed.
Okay, sure.
It's the reason why there is sometimes so much difficulty in diagnosing it is that it's not just a blood test, it's not just a skin biopsy, but it's a constellation of symptoms. So patients must have the symptoms of lupus, and then that should trigger the test for the anti-nuclear antibodies or the ANA test.
And that's what was mentioned earlier.
That's what Tiffany had mentioned was done earlier. And the ANA test is really just a test that lets you know that you do have those white blood cells present who are creating, that's creating havoc within the body. It's a screening test. So once that test is done, we then go on to check for more specific blood tests or more specific antibodies that would say you definitely have lupus. In addition to that, the skin biopsy can be helpful for skin lupus because there are different types of lupus. Once again, and this contributes to the difficulty with diagnosis, we can have lupus that is just purely skin, lupus that may be skin and joints. You can have lupus that may be skin, joints, and internal organs like kidney problems or lung problems or heart problems, or you may just have kidney problems.
Well, so, hold that point, because I've got to take a break, and you brought a different dynamic, because earlier we were only talking about skin and discomfort of the skin and joint problems. But when you start talking about internal organs, that brings a different dynamic, a different health dynamic, and I definitely want to talk about that. So if you're on the phone, Kim in Greenbelt, Robin in Clinton, Linda in Maryland, please stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Angela Stribling is in for Jeff Brown on the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. Please do not hang up. You will be able to hear the program if you're trying to get in. Please keep trying. We will take your phone calls, as many as we can.